Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of This is CX, our West Monroe Partners Customer Experience Podcast. I'm Mike Manfredo.
And this is Paul Hagen.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Good. Welcome back from Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good one.
Yeah. Hope you had a good time with your family and friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, coming back from the break, I thought it'd be great for us to dive into an interesting topic, one of emerging technology and its application within the CX lens. And I thought we could bring in one of our subject matter experts from West Monroe to talk us through a little bit about blockchain. I'm sure many of our audience members, CX professionals out there, have heard of blockchain, whether or not they have kind of an intimate knowledge of, but we thought it'd be great to kind of introduce what blockchain is, where the value is, how it impacts customer experience, kind of where it's going. And so I thought that'd be a great topic that we could talk about today.
Fantastic. All right.
And to help us, we have an experienced consultant from our Los Angeles office, Kayvon Hosseini. Kayvon, welcome.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. Before we get started, why don't you just take a moment to introduce yourself and let our audience know kind of your background.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, I'm an experienced consultant out of our LA office at West Monroe. I'm also one of the leaders and founders of our internal blockchain center of excellence. I've been thinking about blockchain for a couple of years now, working on it mostly on the side, and recently started to really get engaged with it within the firm, starting to execute some client projects around it and really dive into sort of everything that's surrounding the ecosystem and driving it from an enterprise level.
Kayvon, what got you interested in blockchain? Where did the spark come from?
Yeah, so it was 2013. I was a fairly big video gamer at the time. So, you know, I was on these like video game forums, and one of the forums that I was on started discussing just kind of like a new exchange mechanism that they were going to bring on, known as Bitcoin. So at first, when I heard of it, I had no idea what it was. Started kind of looking into it, understanding, okay, you know, this is this idea of internet money. Okay, how does this actually work? How does this actually kind of scale? How does sort of like the concept behind this new idea of internet money work? Started digging into it, started understanding the core technology behind Bitcoin, which is the blockchain. And then I just kind of went down that rabbit hole for a couple of years and started reading stuff online, kind of joined some meetups and started, you know, learning more and more as I could with fellow enthusiasts.
Well, with that, let's jump right in. You brought up Bitcoin, you brought up blockchain. Blockchain is the, as I understand it, the underlying infrastructure and technology behind Bitcoin. So why don't you help us understand what is blockchain and how is it being used currently today?
Sure. So the way I like to think of it is blockchain is really an invention that dates back to 2009 with the creation of Bitcoin. And it's really a combination of a few different tools, such as public key cryptography, peer-to-peer networks, and most importantly, it provides a solution to a really age-old computer science problem known as the Byzantine Generals problem. And at its core, what a blockchain enables is for groups of humans who don't really know each other to establish trust with each other. And I think that's a fundamentally important thing. If you really think about it, humans are very network species, right? We work in groups and we really depend on cooperation in order to accomplish things. Like throughout human history, we've only had a few different ways of organizing different types of networks. You have systems that are more democratic, where it's like one person, one vote. You have governments that are ruled by a single leader or a monarch. Or you might have a corporation that's usually at the center of a network. But over the past couple hundred years, we've actually created a type of network that is greater than ourselves, which is the idea of a market or a different type of marketplace. So a lot of different types of networks nowadays have turned into markets. So electricity is a type of network that is a market. The United States is a type of network. Money is a different type of network. So now with a blockchain, you have a way to digitally organize humans using this idea of a market. So in any type of market, you think about like a stock market, a bond market, you have ways of distributing and organizing assets, but the limited driver at all points is the amount of capital you have within the system. So within a blockchain, you kind of bring that same type of voting consensus and aggregation of resources that you have in a traditional market into places that markets don't normally exist. And that's really fundamental if you think about it. And it allows us to remake things that previously required a centralized authority in a decentralized manner. So if you accept the idea that a blockchain provides you with this new ability to gather and contribute resources, you now need a system where you're able to track who's contributed what resources into a network. And so that way of keeping track of everything is essentially creating a giant ledger. And as part of that ledger, you're going to have a currency that is used essentially as an accounting mechanism for that ledger to keep track of everything that was contributed and taken away within a system. So kind of a fairly high level perspective of what blockchain is, but at its core, it provides us with the ability to disintermediate different types of networks using a marketplace.
And Kayvon, you know, so there have been new marketplaces that have emerged. I think of Airbnb as a marketplace that emerged, you know, where one didn't exist before. You know, early in the internet days, people were trying to bring buyers and sellers together. You could argue Amazon is a marketplace that brought buyers and sellers together. How is this different from those other marketplaces that have kind of emerged because of, you know, an internet-based technology or a distributed, more widely distributed network?
Right. So, you know, I think you brought up some great examples. With Airbnb, Amazon, all of these different types of networks that have been brought on with the Web 2.0, they still have a very much so centralized authority that's navigating and managing that market, right? So within Airbnb, you have Airbnb itself that is kind of like that central body managing that network. You know, within Amazon, you have Amazon as the central body managing that network. With a blockchain, really what you're able to do is you're creating a decentralized marketplace. So a decentralized network where there's no one authority that's at the center of it that is able to get too powerful, too greedy, too, you know, whatever the case may be. It's really kind of like that decentralized element that's the value driver with a blockchain versus a traditional market.
So that's interesting from a customer experience perspective, that central manage, you know, I'm thinking about a customer experience leader and perhaps, you know, an organization that has an existing market and plays that role. There's a curation component, and you know, you could argue that in a centralized place, there's curation, there's a set of rules that govern things, there's an experience or an intentional design of an experience that may or may not be there. That when you give up that centralized control, you may get other things from that, but customer experience could still be a differentiator for that, you know, that group that's, you know, that owns perhaps or is in the centralized kind of place.
Yeah. So the way I kind of like to think about it when it comes to like the customer experience perspective is that with a blockchain, you're enabling different types of experiences for your customers that previously wouldn't be allowed with like a centralized system. So all those rules and kind of that governance structure that you mentioned that is typically taken on by that centralized authority that gives customers that experience, those same types of rules and governance structure can be embedded into a decentralized network. But instead of actually having a governing body, you embed all of that into the code. So that's all in the governance structure of the blockchain code itself, where you can still have a system that is just as user-friendly, just as customer-first, primarily customer-focused. But instead of having, you know, that centralized governing body enforcing all the rules, you have the protocol itself enforcing all the rules. And, you know, with some customer experience thinking, you're able to design it in a way that the customer really has no idea whether it's a centralized versus a decentralized network that they're interacting with.
Interesting.
So Kayvon and Paul, this is even to you, because you're decentralizing or you're removing some of these almost middlemen and the experiences, and we'll get into some examples here shortly. But if you're kind of removing the middleman or the central governance, is this kind of fundamentally decentralizing power to customers beyond what they already have today? Or is it just simply, is it more redistributing, you know, kind of the ownership of the experience itself? And I guess you could say that ownership in this case would be kind of a lever of the power that would be held in the relationship between consumer and provider.
I think it's still kind of to be determined what direction, you know, an enabled blockchain would take it. I really see it depending on how you use a blockchain. A blockchain is ultimately just a tool set rather than the end all be all solution to anything. So I really do imagine that the system itself won't be fundamentally changed in a way that, you know, people will notice themselves. I think probably it's more so the latter that you mentioned, where it gives back ownership to people to have control over their own assets, control over their own data, control over whatever type of resource you're discussing within the blockchain system, more so than changing the way that they interact with it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
There are a few things that can't, you know, that I'm thinking about. One is, you know, Mike, your question is really interesting. Does this empower customers even more than, you know, they've been? And I think it sounds like it has some potential to do that. But there also seems like there's a design of how the, you know, this, it's dumb technology, right? Or smart technology, however you want to you put it. But, you know, at the end of the day, how it's designed is still going to matter in how the marketplace works and how the experience is exposed through the blockchain itself, or the technology itself. You know, it feels like there's new business models or new marketplace. Any company that's in a marketplace type of environment or trying to become a platform and build a market, you know, trying to be a market maker. You know, if you are a market maker or marketplace, the centralized place of that, you know, your business model may be at risk. And there's probably, you know, those firms, you know, we've talked about them, you know, in the past that are trying to create the markets, you know, this could be a really interesting technology for them. But either way, they're, you know, there's some value to customers in turning, it sounds like if you're cutting out the middleman, that the pricing structure or the, you know, when we talk about customer experience, I always talk about delivering value to customers. You know, by cutting out middlemen, you're potentially lowering the price and the overhead of those types of things. So trying to kind of keep bringing this back to customer experience and why it matters to, you know, customer experience leaders, some interesting things that are potentially going on there.
Yeah, totally. I think you bring up a good point, Paul, where at the end of the day, blockchain really has like two fundamental changes when it comes to customer experience. I think on one end, it really does empower the customer. And just like any technology, you know, the best use of a blockchain would make the end user not even understand whether or not they're using a blockchain versus a legacy system. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter, right? Once you're able to color that front end and kind of design that customer experience process, it won't really matter to the customer what type of system they are using. But I think on the other end, a lot of different types of markets and different types of engagement processes with customers can be enabled with blockchain that historically haven't been as easy or as achievable using legacy systems. And I think that's where the real transformation will come for the customer, is having different types of solutions, different types of products, different types of applications that they can use that they previously wouldn't be able to use with a blockchain type system.
Can you give some examples of that? Just make it a little bit more real. You know, what can you imagine, or what are you seeing, you know, companies starting to do?
Sure. So I think there's like a few different examples right now, even, you know, so I guess to premise this, technology is super nascent right now. A lot of people in the current state of blockchain aren't building out full on blockchain infrastructures. Right now, we're more so in this phase where people are testing different types of applications, seeing what's work, what doesn't work. So there's a lot of experimentation. As far as like specific examples that I've seen that I think have a lot of promise, I think one of the areas that you can think about that's probably more tangible is the area of a file storage, right? So right now there's this concept that you would be able to use a blockchain and this type of native cryptocurrency in order to create a decentralized file storage network, right? Where in order to be able to participate in this file storage network, I need this file storage coin, right? And essentially, I give that storage coin into the network that holds some dollar amount of value to it. And in exchange, I get some unit of storage within that network. So on the other end, if I have a computer and I have some level of capacity on my computer and I want to tap into this network and earn some money and earn some coins into this network, I can provide some file storage within my own computer to go into the network. And whenever someone needs a little bit of file storage, they send me a coin. And from there, you're essentially having this peer-to-peer file storage type process, whereas historically you would need a company kind of in the middle of that. Different types of examples that I think are particularly interesting that people are looking into is around the area of data, and especially around the area of clinical trial data. So right now, companies that focus on like genomic data, you know, they're very safeguarded with their data, but their data is kind of at the core of their business. So a lot of these companies now have started to explore the possibility of creating a decentralized type consortium where these different genomic data providers can input all of their data into this blockchain type ledger. And in order to be able to participate in the consortium and use some of the other companies' types of data, you have to use a currency that is only gained when you contribute data into the system yourself. So it creates kind of like this decentralized marketplace for data providers to aggregate more and more data, but also keep sort of like this regulatory structure where you can only take as much data as you contribute into the network. Just kind of two examples off the top of my head.
Yeah, still fairly esoteric when you're going down the document area. I was thinking about mortgages and you know, the stack of documents you get. And I know we've had a conversation in the past about, you know, escrow and the middleman in charge. Do you see anything in financial services that, you know, like a mortgage process that could get disrupted by this kind of technology?
Yeah, totally. I could. So one technology that's usually talked about when discussing blockchain is this technology known as smart contracts, right? And smart contracts is a concept that's been around for a long time now, but with a blockchain, it really becomes a little bit more enabled. So a smart contract is kind of exactly how it sounds like, right? So some set criteria is input into the contract. There, if I do A, then the contract will take in that logic, recognize an event, and then spit out a value B, right? So an example contract would be, you know, if I run a mile today, then once I'm done running the mile, then some smart contract auto-executes and sends some unit of value into my bank account. So when you're thinking about financial services and different types of ways that blockchain could fit into that industry, it really ties in hand with this idea of smart contract technology. So I think mortgages are, you know, mortgages and escrow providers is a good example. So these are all just securities that right now are going through like a very legacy, burdensome, paper-intensive process that requires lots of middlemen, lots of intermediary steps. In a future state, using a blockchain and smart contracts, essentially what you can do is you can find a way to securely transfer escrow and different types of financial security documents on a blockchain ledger using smart contracts, right? Where the system, you can design it so that if I pay X amount, you know, to your account, Paul, then the smart contract can auto-execute and send the deed of trust from your house to me. For example, right? This is obviously a very simplified example of how this can work. But at the end of it, there are so many tools for the financial services industry to start to tokenize and utilize a blockchain for the seamless transfer and you know, movement of scarce assets in a very secure and distributed manner is really where I see the financial services.
Yeah, interesting. And that feels like, you know, healthcare kind of, you know, similar. I know you're working on you're doing some work in the energy utility space. You want to talk a little bit about that and kind of what you're playing around with?
Yeah, totally. So right now in the energy and utility space, we're partnering with an investor-owned utility out in California, and what we're looking at is seeing if we can find a distributed way to calculate and generate carbon credits in the state of California for electric vehicle charging. So right now, if I have an electric vehicle in the state of California, I'm eligible for a set amount of tax credits based on the carbon intensity of the fuel that I put into my car. But with electric vehicles right now, there's a very challenging way to actually calculate the electricity that I put in my car, how much of it comes from clean renewable energy versus how much of it comes from, you know, dirtier or more carbon intensive types of energies. So what we did is we built out a blockchain application that essentially calculates and distributes in a local sense the amount of carbon credits that any particular electric vehicle owner is entitled to in real time and in a distributed manner where not one body will have control over the amount of credits that a specific customer is engaged with. So, you know, we kind of built out this very rudimentary proof of concept where we had one electric vehicle, we plugged it in, we took into account how much of the energy that was procuring into that vehicle was clean energy, how much of it was not clean energy. Based on that, ran some calculations into our blockchain network, and then our blockchain system spits out a set number of tokens, which represents essentially carbon credits. So it was really cool, I think, from a customer experience perspective working on this project, because what we were able to discover is that now that we're able to locally calculate and distribute these credits in a real-time fashion, we can potentially use this same type of system to influence customer charging behavior in a way that's more beneficial for renewable energy and the consumption of renewable energy, right? So within our blockchain application that we created, we're also starting to explore the idea of adding new rule sets to show a customer if you had charged at these particular times where renewable energy is greater there, then you would have gotten a greater amount of credits, so that in a future day where they're charging their car, they would have a little bit more incentive to charge with times that align with more renewable energy, which is beneficial to both the utility and also for, I think, the environment at large. So
I could imagine, could this then apply then to solar or, you know, other types of energy efficiency things that, you know, in the smart homes that are starting to happen, where people would get credit and manage that? And
yeah, it's like one of those, one of the concepts that's been thought about in the energy space when it comes to blockchain is the idea of disintermediating like solar and local energy generation. So, you know, this same concept can be kind of taken a little bit more at large into a future state where, you know, everyone has solar panels on their house and, you know, I'm producing a ton of energy at some point of the day and my neighbor isn't producing that much energy, but is actually at a deficit and requires a lot more energy. So, you know, using a blockchain system, maybe in a future state, there's a solar coin. And if for me to buy a little bit more energy, all I need is to take my solar coin, go on the utilities website or whatever website there is, and, you know, buy cheap solar energy directly from my neighbor rather than needing to procure it from a centralized body, you know, thousands of miles away. So a lot of exciting possibilities with this same application and this same industry use case that I think is going to be really beneficial for the energy ecosystem and I think for customers going forward.
I was just going to say that, you know, it sounds like a lot of new uncharted territory, and which, you know, to me, it always means a lot of space for, you know, human-centered folks that are focused on customers and human-centered design to get involved and just, you know, again, making sure that as we do this stuff, we don't get lost in the glitter of the technology, you know, and the opportunity for new business models, but actually designing those smartly to actually solve customers' problems. So it sounds like lots of opportunity for customer experience folks to get involved with this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, these last couple of years, really the focus of blockchain was more so that technology and infrastructure piece. But I'd say, you know, over the tail end of the adoption of blockchain technology, the focus is really going to be around design and customer experience and really what are the customer and business level problems that we hope to solve using blockchain. So, you know,
at the business model.
So Kayvon, with a little bit of time we have left here, can you help us better understand either the challenges that organizations are facing trying to get going or just what are some ways? I mean, it sounds like a lot of right now is in experimental phase, kind of proofs of concept, et cetera. How does an organization get started? And what are the potential roadblocks to being able to do so?
The most important and most critical step that people kind of rush when it comes to, you know, building out a blockchain application is that first step of use case design. And I think that organizations need to understand that understanding the use case of your blockchain is far more important than actually implementing your blockchain application, right? There's going to be a lot of different types of applications that people explore for blockchain. A lot of these applications aren't going to work and have no chance of working. So I think really vetting upfront, what is this application? What is the goals of the application? Why is blockchain the right technology here? And what about the benefits of blockchain can I use that I wouldn't be able to use otherwise? It's something that organizations really need to think about. And when it comes to actually implementing blockchain technology, I think the most important thing is to take it one step at a time. Blockchain itself is a very nascent technology. It's changing month by month to a point where right now, there's still no stable sort of infrastructure for a company to build out a full, blockchain transformation. But really, it's more so just kind of the incremental benefits that we can recognize so that in, 5, 10, 15 years, however long it takes, we do fully understand how to use this technology, and it'll be in a state that we actually are able to use it for transformational enterprise level applications. So just kind of taking it step by step and starting small is very important.
So Paul, it sounds like to your point of the user design, human-centered design approach, it sounds like also being able to use tools like journey mapping to understand the experience end-to-end, thinking through the ecosystem, and then the potential impact or where blockchain technology could be applied to either improve an existing experience or to potentially develop a whole new experience end-to-end using some of our CX tools. We'll be able to, combining with knowledge around blockchain, would actually then be able to, it's an opportunity for CX professionals to kind of infuse themselves into this area.
Absolutely. Yeah. And at the end of the day, making sure that that matters to customers, right? So some of this stuff is going to be behind the scenes and as infrastructure. And as Kayvon said, in the most sophisticated cases, the customer won't actually know whether, it's something new or something different. It's infrastructure. That means it's designed well, as opposed to designed poorly. At the end of the day, regardless of what you're using as technology or infrastructure, you want to design it so that it's delivering value to both customers as well as the company. So, yeah, exciting. Thanks. This has been great, Kayvon. I appreciate you coming and sharing some of what you've been up to with us.
Yeah, it's been great chatting with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
So Kayvon, we'll definitely want to have you back on to and check in on some of the work that you walked us through that you yourself and West Monroe is helping our clients think through how they can apply blockchain technology and talk about the CX lens on top of it to think through how we're providing better experiences and ultimately more value to the customers for these organizations. So really appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to having you back on in the near future.
Thanks, Kayvon.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you so much for everyone for joining us on this episode around introducing blockchain and its potential impact on customer experience. Paul, any last thoughts?
No, this has been fantastic. I think, again, what gets so interesting is we will never have a shortage of new technologies and evolving technologies. And I've struggled for a while trying to understand, will customers even care or see the impact? So, it does sound like there are some places where it's, way out in the future, and other places where, we may see reinventions of business models, sooner. So, this notion of experimenting and defining the right use case, speaks volumes to me. So I'm excited to see what's in our future. It's not something I played personally with that much, but I'm looking forward to doing more with the new technology into the future.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us, and look forward to you joining us for an episode in the future. Take care.
Bye.